Good morning, everyone. It's good being here, and I hope all of you feel the same. Even though it's a nice day outside, for me, it's always nice to come to church because it's a chance to get away from the cold winds of and the rains, the spiritual cold winds and rains that each of us encounter in life, where you can come to a place of refuge, where you can be warmed and comforted, hopefully encouraged, inspired to draw closer to God, where each and one of us can help each other become better servants for God. And this is something that the world doesn't know and doesn't have that opportunity to understand. When you can come with people with like mind and share your feelings and concerns, it's good to be coming out of the spiritual cold. And for those of you who are just visiting today, I hope that this time, this moment in time, will serve as an opportunity to nourish your soul, to give you the thirst that your soul desires, and feed your soul so that you can come out and learn more, and you can leave feeling that you've accomplished the opportunity to draw closer to God and to kind of understand what you don't have. Having said that, today's lesson is going to be called "When Faced with Insurmountable Obstacles." How many of you have seen the movie Gone with the Wind? There's a scene for me that I always love in this particular. For those of you who haven't seen Gone with the Wind, it's a movie about relationships that take place during the time of the Civil War in the South. In this particular movie, there's a scene where I've always been impressed with, where you see the Union troops are on the verge of Atlanta. They're going to be marching in soon. The city's in a state of panic. Everyone is fleeing the city to save themselves. And you see this one physician working on a patient. And as the camera pans back, you not only see one patient, you start seeing the physician working, that there are several patients or several individuals who are wounded seeking to be treated by this one physician. The camera pans back even further, and you start seeing even more people who are seeking this physician's assistance. And as the camera pulls back further, you see hundreds of individuals who are wounded and are seeking to be healed from this only physician. Even though this is just part of a movie, I wonder what would have happened if the physician had decided to forget his responsibility and decided to flee the city as well. Or seeing a large number of individuals who needed his help became so overwhelmed, he decided, I'm going to hide. I'll wait till this is over, have someone else take care of it. Or he was so concerned about ensuring that his needs and his family needs were being taken care of, and felt that attempting to take care of that many people was not his problem but someone else's. But in this particular instance, he went ahead and started treating these individuals. And even though this was a scene from a movie, I believe this were a real situation. That particular physician knew that he faced an overwhelming, desperate situation. But he also knew at the same time he was the only person that could had the knowledge, the skill, and the knowledge to treat these individuals. To heal them and to save them. These individuals were counting on him. And I wonder if any one of us, if we were in a place in that same situation as that physician, seeing all those hundreds of people suffering and lying in pain and dying and wondering what should we do, for that moment in time, would we run? Would we hide? Would we ignore the situation? Or would we remember the oath that we had taken to help heal our fellow man? when that particular physician, though fictitious, I wonder for that moment in time, before he made the decision, should I run, should I hide, should I ignore the situation, or should I go out and do what I can to help these people get well? I wonder if it's just his thought of having taken the Hippocratic Oath flashed through his mind about that he had taken in medical school years before. I wonder if he was thinking of the vows that he took to help heal the sick, wounded, and dying. I wonder if his conscience kept gnawing at him and saying that if I don't do this, this is going to bother me the rest of my life. So what prompts a man, an individual, who's faced with overwhelming odds that the casual observer would look at and say, it's a hopeless situation? I believe for this particular individual, this physician, at that moment in time, he knew his true mission in life was to help save as many lives as he could. So how does this story relate to us? Ask yourselves, how many times have we been in situations that seem so overwhelming, so frustrating, that we just feel like we're at our wit's end? We don't know where to turn to. We don't know what to do. We've been for situations like you come at the end of the month, you have 3 bills to pay, and you don't have enough funds to pay in your bank account to pay for these funds, and you have to decide, do I buy food? Do I pay medical bills? Do I pay for the rent? Or if you're a single parent having to take care of 2 or 3 children, and you're constantly exhausted because you're trying to provide for them economically, you're trying to meet their physical needs, but you're trying to also meet their needs as a parent, and you just don't know where to turn to. Or what if you saw, for example, a young girl being beaten up by a gang of teenagers, and you feel like, I can't do anything. I mean, would you run? Would you hide? Would you ignore the situation? Or would you do what you could to help that teenager? What if there was a huge disaster in Lebanon, something like a fire or a massive earthquake, where you saw buildings leveled, you saw buildings on fire, you're hearing people trapped underneath debris, screaming, crying for help. And what would you do? Would you run? Would you hide? Would you ignore the situation and say, this doesn't concern me? Or would you do what you could to help your neighbor and your fellow citizens of Lebanon to help them get out of the situation of danger? For many of us, I believe, who are not focused and striving in being like Christ, I could see someone wanting to take the easy way out, running, hiding, or ignoring the situation because their immediate focus would be on saving themselves first. As Christians, I think the focus of our mission is to seek and save the lost. Our true mission is to be like Jesus in everything we do so that God is ultimately glorified. I believe when we become Christians, we must also realize that we've been assigned by God himself to help those around us, to help them draw closer to him through his son, Jesus Christ. And just like Jesus was focused on fulfilling his mission, if you look, and I forgot to give you this one, John 5:30. But if you turn to John 5:30, he said, I can do nothing. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous. Because I do not seek my own but the will of the Father who sent me. And we as his disciples also need to stay focused on accomplishing our mission as well. How did Jesus handle these difficult situations? These situations that to the casual observer would seem so overwhelming and like hopeless, pointless. There's no need to pursue it. It's a worthless pursuit. Turn with me to Luke 22, 39 through 45. And when Jesus, first of all, before we read that scripture, when Jesus was at the Garden of Gethsemane, reading this passage, you could tell he was so overwhelmed. He probably was at the stage where saying, should I run? Should I hide? Should I ignore the situation? And we don't think of that, that Jesus would be doing that. But he was also suffered the same things that a man, any man, suffer, though he was the Son of God. But he was so overwhelmed, he could have run, he could have hidden, he could have ignored the situation. He could have just left the disciples and said, you're on your own. I'm going to find a place to hide for a little bit and just start a new life. Or, I can't deal with this anymore. Turn with me to Luke 22, 39 through 45. And it says, coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. He knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him and being in agony. He prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, he had come to his disciples, and he found them sleeping from sorrow. And if any of you, and I'm sure all of you have been in situations that felt very overwhelming, and you didn't know what to do. Reading this, you can imagine Jesus felt the same way, to say, where do I go now? Because this is just too much for me. So what would have happened if he had run? What would have happened if he had just left his disciples behind, felt overwhelmed, wanted a normal life, or just forget his mission that God had sent him? We probably would have been lost in our sins. But Jesus didn't. Why? Now let's move to another scripture, another section. When Jesus was brought before Pilate, and Pilate had the authority to say, you live or you die, Jesus could have said, wait a minute, this was a mistake, a misunderstanding, forgive me, have mercy on me, compassion, show me, you know. And maybe Pilate might have said, okay, I'll settle this, we'll just move you out somewhere and say that you were castigated and no problem, okay? But he didn't, because one, he knew that he was being the governor of Jerusalem, or of Judea, in the Roman Empire, was considered the armpit of the Roman Empire. But he wanted to please Caesar. He was in a position where he didn't want to upset the Jews, and he didn't want to upset Rome. So he basically threw Jesus, said, okay, we're going to have to sacrifice you just for the good of the peace. But Jesus could have been in that situation begging Pilate to save him. Maybe Pilate might not have, but he didn't. Why? Instead, I almost get the impression that he was almost testing Pilate to see if Pilate was willing to change. And I think by the way he conducted himself, if I were in that situation, I'd probably want to say, why isn't this person trying to defend himself? Why is this? I have the power over life and death over him. Why isn't he not choosing to have his life spared? I'm sure they have put a lot of questions in his mind. And so let's read on this section here on Luke 23, 13 through 15. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, you have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having exclaimed him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing deserving of death has been done by him. He's trying to exonerate himself. I mean, he could have said, guys, you're wrong. I don't care what the consequences are. This man is innocent. But he didn't. And Jesus wasn't pleading for his life to be spared. Why? When Jesus was carrying his cross to Golgotha, he could have been started crying and asking for mercy and saying it was all a mistake, a simple misunderstanding. You've got to give me a second chance. But he didn't. Why? Let's turn to Luke 23, 27, 30. Instead, he took this attitude, and a great multitude of the people followed him, and women, and also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nourished.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.'" As I understand it, and maybe I'm wrong, but as I understand it, Jesus is basically saying, you know, there's a reason why I am going to my death. There is I am on a mission, and don't be concerned about me. Be concerned about yourselves, because if I don't fulfill this mission, there's nobody going to be around here to allow you the opportunity to reestablish your relationship with God. Moving on. And again, when Jesus was on the cross, he could have been crying for mercy, just like the other two individuals who were also nailed to the cross at the same time. But he didn't, because Jesus knew his death meant the completion, fulfillment of his true purpose in life, the opportunity for all men to be redeemed and be restored of their sins through his death. In John 19:30, it says, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished,' and bowing his head, he gave up the spirit." Jesus knew that for all that he had suffered, everything that he endured, he was the only one who could save mankind. And he was focused on completing his mission. So what can we learn from Jesus? What are the lessons that we can learn from on how to overcome seemingly difficult, overwhelming situations? I think number one, if you look at the example in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was faced with a difficult situation, he prayed for strength and guidance. The lesson we can learn from that is when we're faced with a difficult situation, we should also go to God for prayer, for strength and guidance. Lesson two, when Jesus felt so overwhelmed, and he probably might, and I'm getting the impression, if I were in a situation, I'm getting the impression that he was ready to just call it quits, that God had to send an angel to strengthen him and encourage him. The second lesson we can learn is, in this life, if we take our faith serious, we need to look to one another, learn to get closer to one another, so that we can strengthen and encourage one another, not only during good times, but also during the bad times, so that we have someone there that can say, "Hang on, it's going to be okay. Keep focused on your mission. Keep focused on serving God." Lesson three, Jesus was focused on his mission because he had a close relationship with God. And just like he stayed focused on his mission, we stay focused on our mission by daily finding times to read and study the Bible, God's Word. As Christians, we need to constantly ask ourselves, with the skills, talents, abilities we've been given, or situations we have been placed in life, are we really focused on our mission to ultimately glorify God? So in conclusion, when we face overwhelming, difficult situations in life, we ourselves must decide how to handle, whether we should run, whether we should hide, whether we should simply ignore the situation, or just go through it and believe God is with us. Then if we look to see how Jesus handled difficult, overwhelming situations, we too can learn from him on what our true mission in life is, and whatever hardship we encounter can be used to glorify God in his kingdom. A parting thought is, turn with me to Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. The parting thought is, everything that we go through in life is not accidental, but maybe be viewed as a way of drawing us closer to God, relying on Him, and let others see God's glory through us. This is my lesson for today. I know it's short. This my lesson is short, and I hope that each of you got something out of it today. For those of you who feel that you need to come forward, or if there's somebody who would like us to pray for them, or whatever, you can do so at this time.